Today's April 28th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $63,589.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing all right.
You doing okay?
I'd complain more, but nobody gives a shit. So.
Nobody gives a darn. Nobody gives
Actually,
a darn.
Yeah. We need to bleep that.
Too late. It's in there.
Oh, man.
Last time, what? It's been about a week since we recorded last, right?
A little over a week, yeah.
Okay. Currently, I mean, we're not too different. What are we looking at for our theoretical purchases?
Okay, so the buy one, $4,000 back in October, at the end of October, 0.0885 Bitcoin. You know, would have bought that for a cool $3,000. Was it $3,000?
Yeah, it was $3,000.
$3,000, sorry. So right now, we've seen some highs of, over $6,000. Right now it's $5,628. Still, $2,600 profit. You're looking at just in terms of dollars, it's not too bad. And then we kind of did one kind of experimental one saying, hey, you're going to buy right at the halving, buy 1,000. But that got a whole lot less Bitcoin for that. This one, you're 0.001564. And at today's price, and that was a little bit higher, obviously, 63. I think it was in the 63.9 territory. So today we're down to $9.95.
So we lost $5 on that one. And then since last time we recorded, it looks like we lost about $30 on the first purchase.
Yes.
Okay.
So, that's kind of the game you play. The reason we put those two bets in there is like we're pretty confident that in the not too distant future, those are going to be doing very well. Even just a small buy at the halving or today, you're going to be sitting pretty. It'll be maybe a couple of months, but you'll be sitting pretty here shortly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've seen a lot of sideways action continue, basically. I mean, you can tell even by the purchase price itself, because I mean, a $5 drop from the last time I recorded to now, which I mean, was April 19th. So it's almost been 10 days. Like we're not too different from where we were. Like it's if you look at the chart, on like a weekly kind of time frame or a monthly kind of time frame, like there's a lot of chop in there, but we're very much still very range bound. And it's currently what I'm seeing within the charts is like we seem to have a lot of support going on. And again, this is not financial advice, but we seem to have a lot of support going on at the $62,342 level, right in that range. And then we keep on getting, like, ever since, I think we were talking about this right before we went live, like, we haven't been able to get above 70 again since, like, April 12th or something around those times.
Yeah.
And currently, it looks like the ceiling would be sitting at around $68,446. So,
yeah,
like,
it seems it hits that, it drops down, then it hits that and just bounces back and forth.
Yeah. So, and even actually right now, like, the new, because I'm looking at some lines here. We got partway up into that level where we were trying to get back up to that 68,418. We got cut off about halfway up. Now we're sitting at 65,122. Seems to be kind of the high level, and I'm expecting that we're going to try and push for a close above that this week. You know, today's Sunday, so we'll be getting our weekly close. And we're approaching our monthly close. But we had talked about how we've never seen 8 straight monthly green candles for Bitcoin. And so it looks like that's not going to happen.
No. I would bet the farm that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we've got a couple more days to go. And I don't think that's going to happen. So I think I'm predicting that maybe if we do see a stronger rally later on this week, like as everything kind of opens up, 68,000 is probably going to be kind of the high. But otherwise, I think, you know, we've kind of seen support stick around at the $62,400 level. And we'll see if that can hold. Otherwise, you know, we could see a, you know, a drop down to 59,000 again, which we did kind of see once before, and we kind of got back out of there. And then when we look at the flows, like the ETF flows themselves, they've continued to kind of just draw down. We don't see a whole lot of buying activity right now.
A whole lot of selling from Grayscale still.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still selling like crazy. So it's kind of interesting. And I think part of what's happening is that there's a lot of a wait and see kind of happening within the markets right now. Obviously, we saw tensions in the Middle East. We have the status going on in Ukraine. But then we also have a lot of Q1 market announcements that are coming out, right?
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating.
So, I mean, big tech earnings are going to start coming in. We already heard from Tesla. They were one of the first ones that came out. They came out on the 23rd. And I mean, you know, Elon Musk was talking about cutting 10% of his staff. Alphabet came out and they were seeing like an upside to everything. Meta was supposed to have reported on the 24th, which is Facebook. Microsoft was on the 25th. Amazon is coming up on the 30th. So, I mean, those are your big tech. I mean, not that Bitcoin's correlated to big tech, but it acts a lot like big tech at times.
Well, big tech kind of controls the market, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
it.
If you remove big tech from like the S&P and those types of things, like you wouldn't have the crazy gains that you've seen within the American stock market over the past few years.
Very true.
It's all driven by big tech. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how those kind of impact price this week. I mean, because a lot of that's going to kind of affect what the sentiment is in the market. Like, is everybody positive on big tech? Like, what's going to happen there? The other thing that we do have happening this week is that we're probably going to get the FOMC meeting minutes from Jerome Powell. And as we all know, like, inflation hasn't gone away.
Yes.
It continues to rear its ugly head. Doesn't appear to be transient. They haven't tamed the beast yet. So, I mean, for the most part, so stock markets right now, they're not anticipating any interest rate cuts at the upcoming meeting. Jerome Powell is expected to focus on maximum employment and stable prices in his announcement. And then investors should be paying close attention to indicators such as inflation rates, employment strength, and consumer spending trends. Let's see what's...
Yeah.
And then the bond yields are the other big factor of that. The scary thing with the bond yields, though, is that's what our banks typically hold on to, right?
Right.
And they're all underwater.
If they bought them a few years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least over a year ago.
Yeah, that insolvency within the banking is still out there. So, I mean, that's a raggedy edge that everything's on, right?
Yep. And that becomes an interesting point. It's like, do you keep your money in the bank or you put it into Bitcoin? Or, I mean, do you just stuff it under your mattress because your bank is going to collapse, you know, in another month or two?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Even gold is still, it's for the most part, it's sideways. It looks like it's up $6.40 right now. I mean, it's still showing some nice levels. Like, it's $2,337, which is a nice increase from where it had been, you know, at like kind of that 2000 mark. But it's a waiting game. And I think a lot of it just goes back to sentiment right now.
No, I agree. And I don't know, it just feels like everything's being gaslit. Like, I know that there's been a lot of layoffs in big tech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Tesla now some. But the people that I know, you know, I'm involved with a couple of groups that have been in big tech and then they got laid off. They're having a heck of a time even getting an interview. These are well-experienced people, not just, you know, some young programmer who just graduated from college. These people have been established in their careers for 10-plus years. So...
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we have a mutual friend that, you know, was working within AI systems for Oracle on their cancer research. And that that whole program got defunct. So they're gone. Like, they don't have a job anymore.
Wow.
So it's kind of scary. And I mean, that was a pretty big project. Like, it was really heavily utilizing AI to look at cancer data, and try and find correlations and those types of things. And they were just unceremoniously cut. Like, dump, we're not doing it anymore.
Wow.
So, I mean, you see it yourself, like, that you never know, no matter how impossibly secure your job may be, you never know what's coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Decisions made at way higher levels than you have any interaction with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my company right now, for example, like, we're expecting some big announcements on May 6th. And it seems like for us, a lot of what we're talking about the reduction in, you know, they're talking about layoffs again and those types of things. But it seems like there's been a big shift again from what we would call, like, new power, into kind of, well, what are we doing putting all this money into new power? Like, the infrastructure is not in place yet. So, you know, are we going to go back to a more traditional kind of, business model than what we had previously, where we were trying to expand things that may not quite be ready yet? So we'll have to kind of see how some of this stuff plays out. But it's always a scary time. And I mean, I don't expect the Fed to be like, oh yeah, we're going to cut interest rates. They may be taking interest rates completely off the table at this point, or cutting them at least. I don't think an increase is going to happen. No, I mean, a cut, because they had talked about, what, originally we started the year saying they were going to make 6 cuts this year to the interest rate.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went down to 3. And now I'm wondering if we're going to get any.
Yes. I don't think that the interest rates will get cut by the Federal Reserve unless there's obvious signs of some type of economic recession.
Do you think bank collapses would do it?
Potentially. Something where, you know, all the recession indicators happen, that's when the only reason I would see the Fed Reserve cutting interest rates.
Yeah, I mean, and I've got a question for you on this too. Like, do you think eventually that they're going to just be like, well, we can't get it down to 2, but so 3% is going to become the new 2. Like, this is okay. This is a good thing. We can live with this.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to say here shortly. Because honestly, I mean, just with the rampant spending that's been happening, at least the budget deficits from the federal government, I mean, they can work on one side of the inflation equation with the interest rates, but if the government keeps printing money to fund their spending spree, you know, there's nothing they can do about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what has financed all this that has been going on. It's just that constant printing of funds. I mean, I think we just announced another aid package for Ukraine. And I don't know where all this money's coming from. Well, I mean, I do, but...
Well, there's actually something kind of insidious in this one. Is they're actually talking about stealing some of the... Now, I might be speaking out of turn, but they're talking about taking some of the Russian treasuries that they bought from us and giving that to Ukraine.
Ah.
And it's actually kind of nuts, because you're just showing your hand, and you're showing that even if you buy stuff from America, you buy our debt, you don't really own it.
Yeah.
What kind of incentive is there for any other country to buy it?
Well, and I don't think we're doing us any favors, right? Like, by using, I mean, and that's been one big thing that has kind of pushed BRICS to become such a big thing, is that we weaponized our monetary system, and that's not a good thing.
No. At least if you're not us.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing, is that, I mean, I think even Germany and France, like, neither one of them particularly like the way that we kind of weaponized that and that whole coalition. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, because really that's what we need. We need some sort of catalyst really to kick this off. I mean, we can still play the game where if the flows kind of start to kick back up here pretty soon within the ETFs, we can start to see some of that supply squeeze start to happen. Because really the reduction in inventory took place, you know, with the halving, but, you know, we got to run through the supply currently that's out there. And eventually that will happen. And I think it's just right now there's a lot of turmoil within the markets waiting for these kind of announcements. They want to see what's happening within the industry. They want to hear from the FOMC. Like, we need some of those types of things to happen. And the other thing, too, that could happen is, I mean, we could see some bank collapse, right?
Yes.
And then that would turn to printing presses.
That whole system is held together by, I don't know even what, but I know if something like that happens, I mean, that's kind of where the I wouldn't say the bull market started for Bitcoin, but that's when the fortunes were reversed, because, you know, after the Silicon Valley Bank incident, you know, and that was over a year ago. I think that was March 2023.
Yeah.
And from there, Bitcoin went from around 20 grand to 30 grand overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a huge shift in momentum, and that kind of showed kind of the reason why you would want to get Bitcoin, at least in your portfolio in some way, at least some of your investment net worth in there. And one of the other last big things that we do have coming up this next week is China is about to launch their Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs in Hong Kong. We got to be clear about that. It's not going to be mainland China, but
it's controlled by China.
But
yeah.
It's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Like, I mean, how much this is going to affect flows if there's a huge amount of demand. I mean, it's not going to be anything like what we saw with United States ETFs, but that could help. I mean, if nothing else, the amount of purchasing that's been going on within the ETFs, it's just going to help compound that, right?
Right.
Which may push us a little bit further down the road. The other interesting thing about the Hong Kong ETF for Bitcoin and Ethereum is that, unlike ours, it's going to be in kind. So if you put in Bitcoin, you get out Bitcoin.
That's interesting.
Not where you have to do the transitions into cash or the yuan. So, yeah, a big upcoming week. And then, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see after this, the dust settles from this week, and then CPI data coming out as we're moving into May. So it's a waiting game. And I still hold true to where I think it's going to be at least till the 15th of May before we start to see any positive movement back in Bitcoin.
Yep. I'm kind of in agreement with you. No sooner than the middle of May do we get some type of movement in a good direction.
Yeah.
I think we could potentially break down, you know, it's kind of hitting that 60,000 when it goes down. I think we could potentially push through that, land somewhere in 55 before then. But sometime late May, I think we're going to have, that's when the rocket ship's going to take off. What's going to cause that? I have no idea. That's just generally how the cycles have looked like previously. So
yeah. And honestly, what we're looking for, what we need is we need a positive break and a hold above 74,000. So, I mean, even at this current range, like, we could go down even as far as probably, you know, up to about $58,731 with the current trend that we're looking at. But we need to break above 74,000 and hold above that in order for us to really start working back up.
And then the ETFs will get flooded again, and it's kind of that such, you know, self-perpetual motion going on the rocket ship.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that wanted to buy, and they're not wanting to buy right now because there's so much uncertainty. And it's like, this realistically could be one of the last times you see Bitcoin this cheap. I mean, if you're buying at 63,000 or you're buying at 58,000, and then within, you know, 9 months time, it's trading at $175,000. Is that going to matter whether you bought at 63 or 58?
Only slightly.
Only slightly. Not that big of an impact. It's better than waiting for it to be.
If you didn't buy, that's where you're going to be hurting.
Right. Absolutely. So I think that's the biggest thing to watch out for, is that we've talked about this before, like, to buy a whole Bitcoin right now, $63,000, that's not easily done by most people, even with people with millions of dollars, because it's typically not liquid.
Yeah, not liquid.
That's a chunk of change. And as that price moves higher, that becomes more and more impossible for a lot of people to get. I mean, for the most part, I'd say for a vast amount of the population right now, it's almost impossible to buy a whole Bitcoin just in one go. But
yep. I think it's hard for a lot of people to even get a tenth of a coin nowadays. So,
yeah, I mean, when we look at credit card spending to be at all-time highs, right, people aren't living on their credit cards to keep their level of comfortable living where they have been used to because of the way that everything else has gone up in price.
Indeed. Weird times.
Yeah. So, really, I think it's going to be an interesting week. But we just kind of have to wait and see. I'm not expecting a breakout this week by any means. I think more sideways and down, and we could see a big sell-off depending on what's going to happen with the FOMC meeting minutes. There's a lot of fear, I think, right now in the market. So, and it's not just related to Bitcoin. It's not, you know, there's a lot of other things kind of converging with this at this point. But the one other thing that I want to say is there could be some positive catalysts. It depends on what happens with some of these Q1 announcements. Like, we could see some big companies that actually started to put Bitcoin in their treasury. That could be a positive catalyst.
True.
But I'm not holding my breath for that either.
No.
Was there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for me.
Okay. Keep an eye out. Of course, we still do have the newsletter. So if you get a chance, you can sign up under www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And when you do that, you get your self-custody checklist that you will get for free just for signing up and giving us your email information. And we also have the Ledger and Alipal deals on our website where you can buy a Ledger or an Alipal and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. And then, I mean, you're self-sovereign at that point. You have true, complete control over it. So,
Your keys, not your crypto.
Absolutely. And it just helps support our podcast and our content that we create. So thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.